great group. They're ready. They're ready. Well, I guess we shouldn't disappoint them. Welcome, everybody. We're starting a minute or two early because we have a very full program this session. And welcome you to our session for the community health worker section on supporting the community health worker workforce through policy and system changes. And I'm going to skip through a lot of the usual formalities here. My name is Carl Rush. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm a member of the CHW Section Council. I'm going to be moderating today's session, but I'm going to be, I think, a little more like a ringmaster than a moderator because it's a very exciting program, but very full and quite a few participants. So with the consent of the presenters, I'm not actually going to be introducing them from the podium. They will be introducing themselves, and in the interest of time, we'll skip the usual bios, but obviously they have all very, very exciting and interesting backgrounds. So as we say in all of our sessions, we encourage you to get involved in the community health worker section. If you have not been up to this point, there's an orange or what do they call that, goldenrod? Colored sign-in sheet where you can volunteer for committees and other activities, or just if you'd like to stay in touch with what the section is doing. If you are not a member of the section, we certainly encourage you to do so. We're pursuing a goal very soon of being over 1,000 members, which is extremely exciting. And we're also establishing a presence on Facebook and Twitter. We have a Facebook page, the APHA Community Health Workers section, and that is obviously open to folks who are not even members of APHA, because we want to communicate with them too. So we're going to try, in order to get to all the presenters, to limit each presentation to 20 minutes. I'm going to be resorting to some sort of passive-aggressive behavior over here in the corner to encourage that. But I also, before I move into the first presentation, to remind you that our section general business meeting is tonight at 6:30 here in this room. Please come. We would like you to hear more about what our plans are for the coming year. Very exciting stuff. And we have, for those of you who really love to do this sort of thing, at 6:30 in the morning, there's a meeting of our Education y Capacitación Committee looking at education and capacity building for CHWs. And, of course, we do have a booth at the expo. Please stop by. We have on the table outside some programs, some printouts of our full section scientific program for the conference. So I thank you all for attending, and I also want to say, is Ashley in the room? No. Okay, well, we need to move on. So I'm going to just say very quickly that we're very excited that our policy statement, which is about self-determination for community health workers, passed the governing council. And it was a little bit of a cliffhanger. There were some folks who had reservations about it, but the governing council voted down the amendments that these folks wanted to put in, and it passed. The measure passed by 89% to 11%. So they're entitled to their celebration out there. So we're gonna introduce our first panel, who are from Oregon. Some very exciting things happening there. So who's gonna lead off? Okay, Edna.
Hello, everyone. My name is Edna Nyamu, and I'm a community health worker, also the coordinator for Oregon Community Health Workers Association, which we just go in brief, say OCHWA. So with me, my colleagues here, and I'll let them introduce themselves. So, Lakisha and Lizzie. So today we are going to talk about CHW as policymakers in Oregon's Traditional Health Workers Commission. This is something that's very special, and we want to encourage other CHWs from different states to have a commission where people, CHWs, will be able to have their voices heard. So we don't have any financial relationship to discuss. I'll skip the learning objectives and go direct to the agendas. So we want to talk about the community health workers' background and why we created the Traditional Health Workers Commission, also the the roles of the commission, the success, and of course we have challenges of the commission, and Ochoa's strategic to integrate CHWs into policymaking processes. The pictures here are the CHWs. We divided the regions because we cannot, as staff members, Lizzie and I, we cannot just go all over the state. So we divided the regions into 5 different regions around the state. So in every regions, we have representatives. And in each representative, they can do their own thing, get the CHWs together, have whether they want to do a party or just celebrate something. But the goal is to get them together to be able to talk about what is going on in their area, their region. What do they need? What are the challenges? So you can see the pictures of CHWs there. And Ochoa, just to tell you a brief story, Ochoa is a community health workers association. It's a statewide professional association for community health workers. Ochoa is a membership organization led by CHWs. Also, we are founded 2011. You can see how young we are. And the goal is to strengthen and advocate for professionals of community health work. So we have a mission, and our mission is to serve as a unified voice to empower and advocate for CHW and our communities. Our vision will be, and we really like that, is that we will be recognized as members of profession working together for community health, social justice, and equity. And that's a picture of September. It was our second annual conference. And that's all CHWs. And our work, we have three work that we are looking forward, is to strengthen and protect the professional identity of CHWs. Also to foster leadership among CHWs, and promote integration and expansion of CHW workforce. We know this can be really a challenge. How can we get CHWs being recognized and be able to get the jobs? Because yes, they get trained, they get certified by the state, but now we come down to, do they have jobs? So that's one of the works. So when it comes to our policy making, we know that's something, when you tell me about policy, I think that's the job for politicians. I'm not really interested, but I'm learning to find out that this is something we all need to be at the table. If you want your voice to be heard, you want something to be done, ideas get started at the table. Just you can see the picture there. Those are community health workers. Their ideas can start at the table, go through as a policy, all the way to making a law. If you are not at the table, someone else is making the law for you, then you have to live with that. So we encourage CHWs, even if you know you're not interested, come to these meetings for policy committees, just attend. Slowly you find yourself participating and be able to say, okay, yeah, we can support this. So with that, I am handing it to Lizzie.
Thank you, Edna. My name is Lizzie Fussell, and I work as a Policy and Research Director at the Oregon Community Health Workers Association, and I have the privilege and honor of working with the most inspiring workforce in Oregon. So just wanted to give a really brief background about what healthcare transformation looks like in Oregon, particularly for community health workers. Some of this is going to be true for many of your states as well, but in Oregon, similar to on a national level, our state legislation that ushered forth healthcare reform really highlighted the role of community health workers in that work, and you know, it was really tied to this idea of the triple aim. A lot of people started talking about community health workers who had never even heard of them before. And as part of Oregon's Medicaid waiver and state plan amendment, we were given permission to reimburse for community health worker services through Medicaid, and we also committed to train and certify 300 community health workers before the end of 2015, and we are going to be way over that. We've already hit that goal. So in Oregon, as well as across the country, healthcare transformation brings us a lot of opportunities, but it also presents us a lot of risks for this profession, and that's really what inspired the organizing of the Oregon Community Health Worker Association, was that we saw discussions were moving ahead about community health workers, and those of us that are advocates at the table were like, where are the community health workers? They need their own independent advocacy voice to be here. So, you know, there's a lot of people who now, there's some potential money, community health workers are sexy, everybody's at the table, they've never worked with community health workers before, they don't really understand the model, they don't understand the heart of the model, and so that's pretty dangerous. And what that means in real terms is that our community health worker members are actually not being hired for a lot of the new community health worker jobs. So there are jobs out there that are not hiring people who are from the community, who are coming to the door with that trust and those resources already in there. So those jobs are really going to people who've always benefited from employment opportunities, which are mostly like white, middle-class, college-educated, trained folks like myself. So why create a traditional health workers commission? Before we go into that, I just want to spend a little bit of time defining this term because I don't know if everybody's familiar with it. But in Oregon, our state, when we were moving forward with community health worker policy, decided to actually move forward with community health worker policy in parallel to other types of workers that have a lot in common with community health workers. So peer support specialists, peer wellness specialists, doulas, and personal health navigators. And by creating this umbrella term, we allow each worker type to have its own distinction, but to actually move forward and see common cause and do work together. If you've been reading about Oregon things, we used to be called the Non-Traditional Health Worker Steering Committee, and our members found that incredibly offensive and said, we don't want to be defined, but we're not. We are the most traditional health worker that there is. So we turned that up on its head, and, you know, it's an educational opportunity for mainstream healthcare providers. So we were lucky in that we had some incredible champions within our state health department who, you know, without us, like in Illinois, having to do legislation, actually created a steering committee to look at policy for this workforce, which was amazing. We looked at, you know, they started creating rules for certification and rules and regulation. One problem, not a whole lot of frontline workers at that table, right? A lot of amazing advocates, a lot of people with really good intentions, but the work was moving forward without some necessary discussions about what was really going to impact frontline workers. And ORCHA's policy committee that Edna talked about had already created this list of policy priorities of this is the work that we're going to do. And the highlighted pieces is the work that, you know, sounds familiar, right? This is best practices across the country, and many of your organizations are also trying to push this forward. But this was really important to us, that we wanted frontline workers to actually be at the table informing the policy for their own profession. And so in order to do that, we actually had to write legislation. And so in partnership with our former fiscal sponsor, Oregon Latino Health Coalition, ORCHA policy committee members wrote legislation, they mobilized their community members, they lobbied their representatives, many of them for the first time in the Capitol. And we actually passed the bill on the very last day of the session. It was a huge push, but we made it. And, it was incredible. Thanks. So these are pictures of, you know, practicing. I think you can see the 15-year-old girl. We also brought some kids to the office, too, like Illinois. We're practicing our sessions. We've got all the folks who are lobbying and then doing some testimonies. So what this bill did was it actually formalized a committee into a formal statute, so it's not going to go away. It's a commission. And more importantly, it designated seats for a majority of frontline traditional health workers on the commission. And I will leave it to our traditional health worker commission co-chair to tell you about the commission.
Hi, my name is Keisha. I'm a community health worker and a peer support specialist. Little background, I'm a born and raised native of Portland, Oregon, so I don't have a master's or a PhD, but I know my community, so, you know. I started out volunteering, never even seen this path going, but I just kept showing up and kept seeing the changes that need to be made. So I'm the policy vice chair and the traditional health worker commission co-chair. So, and our traditional health worker commission is 19 members appointed by the Oregon Health Authority. 10 of these members must be traditional health workers, at least 6 who are appointed by ORCHWA, and the other 9 members come from various medical professions as well as consumers. And this is our 2014 Traditional Health Worker Commission members. Lizzie's in there. She's not actually on the commission, but she's the backbone of what created the commission, so, you know. And we have 3 subcommittees on the commission. We have the scope of practice, where they explain the role, scope of practice, and expectations and supervisory relationships to the CCOs, CBOs, those who are going to employ traditional health workers. We have the Systems Integration Committee, where we help to find ways to integrate traditional health workers into the healthcare system. So, like creating toolkits to explain to those systems how to utilize us and what a benefit we would be. And we have the training and evaluation metrics and program scoring. So they develop the metric standards and guidance needed to review and approve the certified training programs and CEUs. And the challenges facing the commission, the work of the commission is not funded, so it's not moving as fast as we could if we can employ some staff. Sustainable funding for community health workers is still a central issue. Ability for frontline workers to fully participate with the support of their employers. And we have a few technology challenges, like our registry. Although our registry is not up and working, it has not stopped anybody from getting employed. And where we are today, we have over 300 people who have completed certified training. We have 9 certified training programs throughout the state in both community-based settings and community colleges. We're revamping our registry. We're doing needs assessments and employer surveys to identify additional opportunities and barriers to hiring traditional health workers. And the future. Back to Lizzie.
So for the future of the commission, kind of where we're headed, and ORCHWA's working, we obviously have our coordinator and our board member on the commission, and we work really closely together. But the first and foremost priority for our members is that they went through this certification. They want their names on that registry. So let's get that technology working. We are trying to identify other funding streams for workforce expansion. There's been a whole lot of conversation about Medicaid funding, and for some reason, we just can't move past that. And we really need to think about other kinds of streams to make sure that we're protecting the primary prevention and the community-based nature of this workforce. ORCHWA worked together with the Office of Equity and Inclusion and our state health department to put forth a proposal for $5 million to support the commission. You heard from Keisha, we don't have adequate staffing for that right now, but also to fund demonstration projects around the state that are specifically tied to community health workers working on issues addressing health inequities in their communities. So really shifting the focus away from just helping insurance companies lower their costs, but actually get the community health workers back in the communities doing what they want to be doing anyway. Educating, both ORCHWA and the commission are working together to educate health and social system stakeholders about the benefits of traditional health workers, and then also monitoring the impacts of these new policies. So a whole lot of things have started. We need to make sure that especially the background checks for new community health workers, we're concerned that there's going to be impacts on who gets to serve their communities. And the community colleges have recently been approved for training programs, and we also want to make sure that the demographics of folks who are actually matriculating from those programs are reflecting the diversity of Oregon. So lessons learned from our work is, I think, first and foremost, orienting new members. Enno is talking about how a lot of our community health worker members, they see themselves as advocates, but not necessarily policymakers. And so it's our role as ORCHWA to really empower and provide the background and context so they feel they're not just at the table, but they feel confident speaking up at the table and being a powerful voice. Matching the walk with the talk, our governor talks about community health workers all the time, but there are no state funds going to support community health workers. And there are some states that do a lot less talking and a lot more funding, and we want some of that too. The value of both internal and external opportunities for community health workers to participate. So ORCHWA is an independent advocacy organization. We also have the commission inside. There are things that we can do together, and there are things that ORCHWA can do that the state can't do through its bureaucratic system. And there's certainly audiences that the commission can get that ORCHWA is not going to be able to do on its own. And then there's some piece around building capacity and realistic timelines. We're starting a lot of new things here in Oregon and around the country, and it takes time for that work to pay off. So we've had some disappointments because our expectations were that we're going to start this commission and then we're going to be in charge, and it doesn't work that way. We yesterday heard a lot about all the professionalism, hierarchies, classism, and racism that is explicitly integrated into a lot of these structures, and that takes time to undo. And there's a lot of people who are wanting to work on this, but we have to avoid duplication. There's enough work for all of us, right? So let's align ourselves and all move forward together, because we don't all need to be doing surveys. We don't all need to be doing needs assessments or training. We can find our niches and work together. So.
You're exactly on the timing as you practiced it.
They told me beforehand they had practiced and worked out the 16 minutes, and it was that. It's up to you whether you want to use your 4 minutes now or pool them with the other presenters at the end.
Let's pool them. We'll have a more interesting conversation.
What do y'all think? Okay. Great. Thank you all. Okay, next group. Let's go.